You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Just over a year ago, a unique self-governed homeless encampment in Sacramento was closed by city officials, putting dozens of people into temporary shelters or back on the street. Camp Resolution provided a sense of community and autonomy for over 2 years, particularly after residents signed a first-of-its-kind lease with the city that attracted national attention. But the camp's closure came weeks after Governor Gavin Newsom called for more action to remove encampments, and months after a Supreme Court ruling in the Grants Pass decision that gave local governments more power to enforce camping bans. The story of Camp Resolution and those who called it home does live on thanks to the efforts of a local filmmaker. That documentary, The Right to Exist, combines residents' experiences and expert analysis amid the context of the ongoing crisis of homelessness. A free community screening of the film will be held tonight starting at 6 p.m. at the Student Union at Sacramento State, followed by a panel discussion with some of the camp's residents. Another screening and panel will be held next week on September 18th, benefiting Loaves and Fishes. Nick Anderson is the director of The Right to Exist, and Arturo Baiocchi is a professor of social work at Sacramento State, as well as a co-producer and expert on the film. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, Nick, I want to start off with you. You joined Insight last year to talk about this documentary, The Right to Exist. For listeners who haven't heard the documentary before, how did this idea all get started?
So I was lucky enough to, 2 years ago, receive some funding from family and friends when I found out about the homeless population in Sacramento surpassing the numbers in San Francisco. I received some funding to create a short film with a collaborative of mine, Ian Lee, and we created a 20-minute short film. And from taking that film out and talking about it, I found that the audiences I was screening it for had more questions than I had answers for. And so that prompted me to pursue a larger grant to tell a feature film. And that was when Arturo brought the Camp Resolution to my attention, and we went down and began speaking with them. And originally, I was just going to profile one of the individuals there to say, hey, what does a successful encampment look like? And I was going to profile a number of other stories. And as the story progressed, we discovered that this camp was getting being threatened to be closed. And we followed their fight against the city to try to maintain this lease and pursue the right to exist.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done a documentary on a myriad of social issues in a local community like Sacramento. What drew you to wanting to shine a light and better understand homelessness?
It might sound silly, but I have two young kids, and when I heard about the numbers, rising so high, and of course it's visible on the street to anyone who looks around, I just felt like, well, I have a responsibility to do something to try to make the world a better place, and you know, the kind of world I'd like my kids to grow up in. And I'm a filmmaker, and so what better thing to do than make a film?
So you started filming 2 years ago, and obviously Camp Resolution ultimately was shut down. So how did the film grow and evolve over this time from that original vision to now?
For the first 6 months, I really was following Sharon Jones, one of the founders of the camp, and just kind of following her story. And at the time, she was being brought to Sac State to talk about the uniqueness of Camp Resolution and all the things that made it such a magical place. And I think everyone there is very proud of what they built. And only in April, I think, of 2024 did they receive kind of an eviction warning when the water board was not going to renew the variance there that allowed them to be camping on that site. And so when that happened, suddenly they were marching to City Hall, marching to the Capitol, you know, and garnering attention from the mayoral race at the time and national news. And so that really upped my involvement in now covering both the fight they were doing and also starting to profile other individuals in the camp and tell their stories.
Yeah, and it continued after the camp was closed, your work.
Absolutely. We tried to stay in contact with all the individuals there, and then we did follow-ups about 6 months later to find out where they all were at and kind of how they were doing. And some of those stories were heartwarming and uplifting, and some were tragic.
Arturo, that brings me to you. You're a co-producer in this film. You're also one of the subject experts in it, as Nick laid out. How did you get connected to this project?
Yeah, well, my area is homelessness and homeless policies at Sac State. I teach at the School of Social Work, and I teach primarily policy courses. And I've done a number of studies on kind of the response to homelessness mm-hmm. that the state has done, and as well as Sacramento has done. And I became interested in Camp Resolution because it was such a different response that the city was having towards this, you know, informal encampment. And as you know, every city in California is struggling with this issue of just too many people experiencing homelessness and not enough shelter space. And when I heard about Camp Resolution, I thought, wow, this could be a kind of innovative way that other jurisdictions could address this issue of where are people supposed to go when there isn't enough shelter. And you know, everybody knows that affordable housing is driving, well, at least in the literature, everybody knows that the affordable housing crisis is driving the homeless crisis. But it takes a long time to build affordable housing, and people wait for years. And so I thought this camp could be an interesting way that people can find safety and community while they wait for housing.
Were you surprised that Camp Resolution ultimately closed?
At the time, I was, because it seemed...
The city had buy-in.
Yeah, that's right. I was, you know, I was initially shocked how much buy-in the city had and how much collaboration. You know, the city was providing the trailers, providing water, sanitation services. And so it wasn't like there's other informal encampments out there, but Sacramento really was investing in this community. And that was new and interesting. There was a shift. And I think there's been a dramatic shift, both politically and also in the policy landscape, where something like Camp Resolution no longer became viable. And it was the Grants Pass decision that I think ultimately undermined the, you know, the willingness of politicians to support this new thing.
Right, because Grants Pass ultimately, it kind of overturned Martin versus Boise, gave individuals a right to sleep outside if a local government did not have available shelter space to offer them. So Grants Pass was pretty... It was like a 180 from one decision to the next.
That's right. I mean, I think it really changed the political calculus of cities supporting something like Camp Resolution, because now they had another way of dealing with encampments. Mm-hmm. Before Grants Pass, it was really deemed unconstitutional to criminalize people living on the street if there isn't enough shelter space. And so the city didn't really have a lot of choices. And so they saw this encampment, and I think they saw it as an opportunity to, let's see what we can do with this. After Grants Pass, there was a lot of pressure from the district attorney, from different political forces, where I just don't think it made sense for the politicians involved to continue to support it. So I was shocked at the time. Now looking back, it seems like this wouldn't have been viable in this current environment that we're in.
And you could have kept all of this in the classroom. This is your line of work in academia. When did you decide to be a co-producer for this documentary?
Yeah, when Nick reached out to me, it was really in the role of a consultant. And, you know, we had early on conversations, and I said, Nick, you just have to follow something for a year and watch the life course of whatever project or policy. And I actually thought that this is like going to be a success story. There's so many things to look at that are not working well in terms of homeless policies and programs. Here's an example of something that is going to work. And so I really encourage Nick to kind of leverage the relationships that I had with the camp. I was teaching a class at Sac State at the camp, and my students were writing their thesis about the camp. And I thought, you know, this is a compelling story. I'm so grateful that we have this documentary. While I think the time has passed for the camp, I do think it's going to be a pendulum, and we're going to look back at the camp, I hope, and look at some of the lessons learned, you know, both positive and negative.
Once the camp was closed and those residents were cleared out, from, you know, a community standpoint, maybe just like optically, the story could have ended there. Of course, not on an individual level for the individuals who are removed from this camp. Nick, what would you like people to better understand about the aftermath of Camp Resolution and the fate of the residents who used to call Camp Resolution home?
I think it's really about the options that were provided to them after the camp. You know, some were able to find advocates who let them into their backyards or houses and got very lucky. A number of them were able to find permanent supportive housing, but the vast majority either ended up back on the streets or in the shelters that, you know, I think we have interviews with some of them who say, I feel like I'm in jail. And so I think, you know, the solutions as an alternative to Camp Resolution just really, really weren't there from a success point of view. And so I felt like it was important to follow those stories and hear from the individuals who were having that experience. First and foremost.
Is it still like that today? I mean, the Camp Resolution closed roughly a year ago.
Absolutely. I think if anything, things have gotten worse. And to a degree, I sympathize with the public. I know people get frustrated with the situation, but the reality and kind of the call to action of the film is to, you know, is we need people to care more and take an active role and be involved and be willing to try things for these solutions. Because even though there's Camp Resolution, the Sacramento story, this is not a Sacramento-only story. It's something we see statewide and nationwide. And we are going to have to find different solutions for different areas and be willing to pivot and be flexible.
Right. I mean, because although there is a great deal of compassion for people who are unhoused and living on the streets, there's also collective frustration as well, especially following the pandemic when the number of people experiencing homelessness skyrocketed in some instances, in some areas, Sacramento included, to unprecedented numbers. When you actually screened the first 45-minute cut of the film to people, today you're going to be showing the 90-minute version, but when you first screened that initial cut, what were some of the reactions and responses that you received?
The reactions were overwhelmingly positive. I think I felt I was on the right track, and then that gave me extra, you know, courage to pursue the narrative we were following. We had a screening where many of the camp residents were present, and it was great to see them see themselves on screen. Part of the thing we tried to do was I have some of the best filmmakers and artists in Sacramento working on this project. And so using the level of cameras, we're doing the same kind of things we shoot an Apple CEO with or a, you know, big tech company CEO with, we brought to this camp. And so both the camp embracing us, making us feel safe and opening up with their stories, but also being able to elevate their voices on the screen, I think was a big impact for them. And having them, you know, cheer out and get to see themselves there was really important for me and to let me know. I would never want anyone from the camp to feel like I took advantage of them or was being, you know, provocateur in any way. And so having them get to see the film first and foremost and react was really important to me.
Yeah. I mean, in line with that, how did that shape your storytelling of the documentary and following them along with that sensitivity and not wanting to exploit people in a really vulnerable situation facing uncertainty?
I think it was twofold. Camp Resolution had a fairly large spotlight on it, and so they were used to people showing up with cameras and aiming cameras at them. And I think it took me showing up, you know, for months on end before they were like, oh, this guy's sticking around. He's for real. He's not here just to, you know, get a quick soundbite from us. He's someone who wants to dig deeper. And that, I think, resulted in when I asked individuals beyond Sharon to start opening up and telling about their stories, they were really warm and welcoming and you know, told me some of the best parts of their lives and some of the worst parts of their lives. And so that, I think, makes the film much more powerful and gives you this spectrum of experiences that if someone's watching the film, they go, oh, this is not a one-off. This is a story you hear over and over again of individuals who fell on hard times. And maybe, you know, yes, there's drug use and mental illness in the homeless community, but these are individuals probably just like lost a job, had a rent increase, you know, fell on hard times in some way. And we have left a bottom line, you know, where if you get below a certain income level, you just fall through the cracks. And the second thing I was going to bring up was that the filmmakers began to increase in their comfort. And for that reason, we have really amazing visuals. We've got drone footage. We have this like outstanding level of artistry in the film that I'm very proud of.
Yeah, because oftentimes we just get a snapshot of the human experience, and what you're really trying to capture is something that's well-rounded. We all live with homelessness to one degree or another, and because it is a huge crisis in our state from one community to the next, you may feel like, okay, I already understand this. I already have my solidified views on this issue and what needs to happen. Arturo, what would you like people to take away from this documentary, maybe dismantle some of those beliefs or even expand upon some views that they already have?
Yeah, I mean, homelessness is highly stigmatized, and it's an issue that, as you're speaking, I mean, I sympathize that people are frustrated and don't like to see homelessness. And I think the thing that made the camp successful was its visibility. Ultimately, I think that was also part of its demise. It became too visible. And now we're in an era where we are enforcing and clearing encampments as fast as we can. We're also leaning towards, you know, tiny home communities and new kind of interventions that I think have good potential. But what worries me is how some of these encampments or these tiny homes are outside of town, outside of view. And I think this out of sight, out of mind is not a new idea and is going to have some very negative blowback in the future. And so I do think watching a film like Camp Resolution will give people a sense of what the camp was actually like. You know, the city framed it as a failed experiment. I think that's incredibly cruel to say that. I think there were some successes. There were some problems for sure and challenges. But you know, this is what happens when you give people a voice and self-determination and the right to kind of decide what they want to do with their lives and being visible. I think that's a really big thing I want people to take away from this documentary. It's nobody wants to see homelessness, but the solution can't be pushing people outside of town.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Nick Anderson and Arturo Baiocchi about the documentary, The Right to Exist, which tells the story of Camp Resolution. A free screening is taking place tonight at Sacramento State. There'll be another screening and panel as well next week benefiting Loaves and Fishes. Okay, so if people want to go to this screening tonight or next week, how is it going to go? There's going to be a panel as well following the documentary, right, Nick?
Yes, we have two of the founders who are going to be speaking alongside myself and Arturo, talking about just the subjects and the creation of the film and catching people up to date with where they are and many of the camp residents are now.
And how will the screening next week benefit Loaves and Fishes?
I admittedly, unfortunately, don't know the answer to that. Loaves and Fishes is amazing. And I Angela Hassel, executive director of Loaves and Fishes, was one of the consultants on the film. And so I basically just made the offer to her of like, hey, if there's any way I could benefit Loaves and Fishes, I'd be happy to do a screening for her. And so they're hosting it at the Unitarian Universalist mm-hmm. Church on Sierra Boulevard. And so hopefully it'll be a fundraiser on their behalf where people will be excited to support Loaves just as a part of the film.
Great. And I believe that's in the Arden area. So people can RSVP. What has the response been like so far?
Just outstanding. I think we have 120, 130 or so.
145, last I checked.
There you go, RSVP for tonight. So we're almost at capacity. But yeah, the Guild Theater, last time we did the 40-minute showing, sold out. And so far the attention's been, very welcoming.
Mm. Arturo, I mean, you touched upon this when talking about the evolution of Camp Resolution. There is a change in, I guess, response from elected officials. There's also a change in leadership locally mm-hmm. at the city level, both at the county recently in recent years with a new district attorney and most recently with a new mayor, mm-hmm. Mayor Kevin McCarty. How do you think that's going to shape how the city and the county responds to homelessness?
I mean, I think that, you know, Camp Resolution became part of the campaign. I remember seeing flyers come to my house talking about, if McCarty doesn't win, we'll have more Camp Resolution type encampments in your nearby park. And I do think I was disappointed to see that because it seemed to play off people's worst fears about homeless encampments. I think we're in this phase that things like clearing encampments is going to be seen as an effective and the only way we can deal with this very difficult issue of increasingly more and more Californians falling into homelessness. It's estimated that nearly 200,000 Californians are going to be homeless tonight. And that represent about half of all people in the United States experiencing unsheltered homelessness. And that's not necessarily a new statistic, but it shows you that this is going to be an ongoing issue. And we're going to clear encampments 24 hours a day. We're going to keep having encampments, although not visible. And I think people do suffer and there are harms. Sadly, a number of people have passed away from the camp in the past year, not just one or two, but a couple. And, you know, some were women who were sleeping outside and, you know, not great things happen sometimes out in the parkway. And that's the tragedy of this moment that we're in. I do hope that our politicians realize that even though a more humanitarian approach is slower and takes time, I think it's ultimately has better benefits in the long term.
Arturo, Nick, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you for bringing this up.
Nick Anderson is the director of The Right to Exist, a documentary shining light on the housing crisis and telling the story of Camp Resolution. Arturo Baiocchi is a professor of social work at Sacramento State and a co-producer on the film. A free community screening will take place tonight at 6 p.m. at the Student Union at Sacramento State, followed by a panel discussion with camp residents. A second screening panel will take place next week, September 18th, at the Unitarian Universalist Society of Sacramento benefiting Loaves and Fishes. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.